Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, as always, our program airs 10 a.m. on the West Coast, and you know, it's been really nice out here in the last few days, and it's amazing because we're supposed to be having some heavy rain, and it hasn't happened, and so we're going to probably have let's not say we're going to have a drought period, but let's hope that we don't have a drought. Well, I mean, but anyhow, I'm enjoying this weather. I really am. And like I mentioned last week, I moved into a new place, and it's tough to get away from it. When you've just moved and you have all these boxes and you're working, and I have a parent who's in the hospital. My mother hurt herself, broke her hip. So it's just like one thing after another, and I can't get outside. And it's really critical to get outside. It's not only to sit, but to move around. I mean, we're not made to just be sitting down. This is what really is obvious to me as somebody who was very physical, who had relatives who were very physical up until the last few months of their life. And I mean, I moved into an area that is very close to hiking areas, and so I just love to hike, and I haven't been able to do that, and I'm really disappointed in myself. I've been here now about a week, my new place, and I look outside. It's beautiful, beautiful, and as I'm looking out my front window, I can see a trail that leads up to a place called Wildcat Canyon, and this area is noted not only for its beauty, its views of the bay and trails, but it's just a great place to kind of get away from it all because it's a protected park. So it's a little disappointing that I'm not getting out and hiking more because it's really good for my disposition and health and so on and so forth. And so I really encourage you, if you're in an area that has great weather or good weather during the day, or you can get outside even if it's cold, do so, because boy, it's very important. I'm not a doctor or a physician, but I've been around enough people in the community, the health community, to know that they say getting out and moving around is huge. So I really, really, really encourage you to get out here. So get out and do some stuff. So we've been talking since the inception of this program last year about ancient cultures, ancient civilizations, what they left us, their contributions, what we don't know about these groups. And I might have mentioned that back in the late 1990s, I was the program director for a conference. And the conference was known as Whole Life. And the theme of the program was, hang on 1 second, my guest is checking in, so let me just try this again. Hang on a second. I'm going to punch this in. Let's do it again. Let's see, try. My guest is coming from LA today, so she's having trouble dialing in, so we will take a second here. Okay. Okay. So anyhow, the point I was trying to make is that my focus has been on ancient Earth, Earth ancients, and 1995. I was the program director for Whole Life Expo. Now, one of my roles was to find New Thought presenters who had studied the program, and I might have mentioned that Zachariah Sitchin, the Earth Chronicle author, 12th Planet and so on, was a regular presenter. A young Graham Hancock was also in the program, and he was fascinating for some of his early work. I believe he has one of his last programs with us was when he launched Fingerprints of the Gods, which is like a Bible for those of us in the ancient civilization, anomalous civilization, unknown civilization arena. But what is perhaps was unique about a lot of that discussion was consciousness. What were the mindsets of these ancient cultures? What was their consciousness like? And most of our understanding is guesswork. Some of the Hindu Vedas speak of levels of consciousness, but it wasn't until thousands of years later that we started having Hindu sages tapping into meditative practices. And one of the biggest things that I have always had an issue in is people taking drugs, recreational drugs, to get high, to shift, you know. I mean, I enjoy a beer or two once in a while, but cannabis and things like that. But when I was with the expo, it was at the end of what was called the hippie period, or the turn on, tune in, drop out phase, as coined by Tim Leary, the biggest proponent of, or the big proponent of LSD, which is a psychotropic drug. And I never took acid. I just was so afraid of it. I had a little marijuana here and there, but I was just so afraid of taking any drugs. I was just highly, highly sensitive. And so any type of consideration for drugs was not something I was interested in. But I think the point I'm trying to make here is that the idea during the 60s, 70s, and into the 80s and early 90s of taking psychotropic drugs to try to experience new levels of awareness was thought of as the only way to reach a consciousness from a different perspective and look at different dimensions and different realities. It wouldn't be until the Beatles, John Paul, Ringo, and George, would meet with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi that the thought of meditative practices began to take hold. And actually, it triggered me to the point that when I was 18, I took transcendental meditation. I took a TM class, and to this day, I still practice it. Now, I have not had a brain scan or any type of scanning to determine what benefits this has had. All I can say is that there are occasions when I actually do tap into different realms, and but I'm not seeking to connect with any other consciousness. For me, it's more of a clearing. I call it resetting the clock. And with meditation, with transcendental meditation, for me, resetting the clock means I wake up in the morning, I close my eyes for 20 minutes, I shift, prepare for the day. And then in the evening, when the day's over, either before or after dinner, I reset the clock and I have a meditation, a 20-minute meditation, where I kind of refocus and shift, and it's kind of a clearing. I call it resetting the clock because the stress and the baggage of the day is kind of released in a way, and a lot of times it'll let me work into the evening. So, but I think the point I'm trying to make again is that a lot of people are still to this day promoting drug use as a way of gaining consciousness. And for all his great work, I'm just kind of shocked that Graham Hancock continues to promote drug use as a way to access consciousness. And I just don't like it. I don't think it's natural. I don't think it's healthy. And I think the body, the system becomes dependent on these powerful drugs to give it a means of jumping into other dimensions when there are natural, more elegantly designed methods of consciousness development, consciousness travel. And I believe this to the point where when I was actually visiting the Yucatan, and I was there for a number of years studying with Mayan elders, Humbatsmen, and a number of people in the Mérida area, which is the capital of Yucatan. And they actually told me that the Maya had a meditative practice, were able to shift their consciousness in such a way that they could have contact with other realities and other levels of being, other types of beings, light beings, or whatever you want to call them, and did this quite regularly. And today it's kind of a lost art of very small pockets of Maya throughout Central America have a practice of it. The priests, or what they're called, daykeepers, maintain a practice because they need to stay focused. And when people ask them questions, they need to be able to pull from a number of dimensions and respond. So that kind of drilled home the whole idea of a natural way to raise consciousness, to tap into other dimensions in a healthy way, in a beneficial way. And so to take it to the next level, my guest today has written a book called The Multidimensional Traveler. And she actually appeared, I mean, I've gone through and looked at her book, and it's a fascinating book, by the way. It really reveals the possibilities that we have for accessing multiple dimensions and really tapping into realities that we just dream about. Kartika Go is my guest today and has evolved her practice from rigorous academic background into ardently writing on unknown and the mysteries of the universe. She recently went public with her accounts of dimensional travel in her groundbreaking article, Adventures in Altered Reality, which was published in 16 languages and sold in over 30 countries by Nexus Magazine. And she's got an undergraduate degree from the University of L.A. and pursued graduate studies at Columbia University in the city of New York before embarking on her research on metaphysical dimensions. And I've had a couple of conversations with her. She's a fascinating woman. And unfortunately, I just got the book a couple of days ago, but I have looked at it quite in-depthly, and I find it's a fascinating journey and something to consider. And this is why I've invited her on the program today, because I'm a proponent of the ancient ways and the techniques that are coming back. I practice meditation, as I mentioned. I also practice yoga quite frequently. And I find yoga is a form of moving meditation, too. So I'm very, very curious to learn more about Kartika's focus, her journey, and her information that she's revealing. Hi there. How are you today?
Hi, Cliff. I'm very well, thank you. What about you?
I'm great. Glad to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yes, I think you may have heard a little bit of what I was talking about, and we both have had conversations about your work. But I mean, obviously, before you began having your experiences, you must have had an interest in multidimensional focuses, realities, or levels of consciousness before you began your work. Would you say so?
Well, not really, not at all, actually. Well, I've always been attracted to the mysterious and the mysteries of the world. However, my life before I actually had my so-called first experience was very much the average, you know, college girl trying to get straight A's, trying to get good grades. I've never really looked, or I've never really practiced meditations.
Okay. So tell us about the journey. Tell us about what was the first experience and the basis of this wonderful book.
Well, I was visiting my high school friends in London when tree-like beings actually visited me. And I was definitely most certain that it wasn't what I call partial multidimensional traveling, but instead it's multidimensional traveling in full awareness. The light beings came to me, and the first thing that I thought of is, where are they from? And I asked them, and they say that to us as where we're from is like to us as which three we are within the forest itself. And what they say is that the reality of this universe is very much different than what you perceive it to be, that it's not what you perceive as the physical, that it's much more than that. It's just to simplify the story. Then it is ever since that incident itself that I've gotten a wake-up call to actually start questioning things and start questioning literally everything that I'm actually taking in from the school itself and from my life itself. And then I started experiencing things. And at first they were I would say quite scary, actually, until I learned to raise my vibrational frequency and align to the forces of positivity and love and light, that I actually managed to travel to the what I call the higher dimensional realms.
Mm-hmm. And so did these beings tell you why they were contacting you and help you with your shifting into the higher dimensions or higher vibrational frequencies?
I never really asked that much personal question. It's more of a general understanding that they were basically saying that this world is really not what it seems. That it's time, you know, just to put it basically, that it's time for you to start questioning the truth. And that's when I, and ever since that incident itself, that's when I actually started traveling multidimensionally, or what we perceive in the book as, or what others perceive as traveling out of body, within the energetic body itself, as a vehicle. So,
mm-hmm. Would you say that, based on your experience, that you are unique in your ability to travel multidimensionally, or is this something that everyone at a certain stage in their evolution can tap into?
Oh, this is an ability that everyone has. It's just that that people have to put dedication, of course, into it, and it's definitely not because I'm different or something. It's everybody has this ability, and you brought up a great point that indeed such depictions have been depicted in various ancient sites, even, or even various ancient the ancient past, the individuals that passed down knowledge, even in Sanskrit texts, Vedic texts, whatsoever, they talk about this. This is a normality during their days.
Okay. The book is part your interpretation, your living through these various experiences, and it's very well written, by the way. I enjoy what I've had a chance to read so far.
Thank you.
But one of the points that I thought was quite revealing is your analogy of the multi-layer, the multi-dimensionality of the universe. And can you talk a little bit about that? You use the analogy of the string and the rope. There's a rope that is out there, but if you look at the rope, and you see there's literally thousands of individual strings that are made up or make up that rope. Can you talk a little bit about the multidimensionality of our universe a little bit, and what these beings told you and what you've perceived?
The concept of multidimensional existence, or even of dimensions that exist, is that, like you said, I gave the analogy of the rope itself, or one could also think about it as a layering of cake, and also the mm-hmm. inner circle within a tree could also depict that from one side, or from far away, you may see, or you may perceive that it is one individual dimension itself, when there are actually many different layering or many different dimensions that exist. For example, right now, due to our physical brain anatomy itself, we are only able to detect the physicalities of things, when in actuality there exists a different layering of dimensions surrounding us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And through your meditative practice, you're able to freely move through those, or are you limited in where you can go dimensionally when you do your program? Can you tell us a little bit about the technique that you use, and how it works? Because I think that's fascinating.
Thank you. Well, the key to multidimensional traveling is in raising your own personal vibrational frequency. And the vibrational frequency is very much correlated to the mind, while there is this thing, a terminology that I call energetic fuel, that is very much related to the heart. Now, energetic fuel can only be increased with feelings of love and light. And with that energetic fuel increase, the energetic frequency within the mind is also increased. And in aligning yourself to the forces of love and light, in controlling your mind on daily basis, not letting negative thoughts appear within your mind on all aspects of daily basis, is the key to multidimensional traveling. And of course, you have to first believe in the abilities that you have within you. You have to believe and understand that there exist many different dimensions, there exist many different planets, and many different galaxies and universes, that you have to first keep an open mind and put aside your previous preconceived notion, and and put them aside as though you are back to a blank slate instead of when you wish to understand the truth about the reality of our universe. Because what you believe is what, as the Buddhists say, what you believe and what you think of is what you attract and what you will perceive as. But as long as you keep your thoughts in a physicality itself, you're only limiting yourself. You're only imprisoning yourself within this particular physical world.
Interesting. Well, let's talk about it. For instance, now I just opened the show and discussed how a lot of people, you know, for lack of a better word, just would prefer to take a drug to access different levels of consciousness. Why can they not just take a psychotropic drug like a peyote or acid or something that shifts their consciousness to a higher realm and actually travel in a multidimensional way?
Well, I deeply share your thoughts about that as well, that I'm completely against the usage of drugs in order to increase the amount of your consciousness, because what drug does is that it only temporarily raises your vibrational frequency. It's kind of like cheating your way through it. And what it does not do, what contrary to what people say, is that it does not raise your consciousness at all. What it actually does is that it takes the amount of consciousness that you already have within your physical brain itself and transfer it to the energetic body. And the more people take this, sometimes you see a lot of people with what we perceive as the negative side of psychology itself, like schizophrenia or even multi-personality disorder. What actually occurs within their brain is that the consciousness that previously exists within their physical brain is transferred over time due to this addiction to drug to their energetic body. Now, and over time, because they don't really have control over it, they don't have enough consciousness to take control of their energetic body, what actually happens is that their energetic body is taken over by basically negative beings, that they lost their own consciousness, that sometimes you see them acting as though or behaving completely differently than how they used to behave before they actually take the drug itself. Now, I'm talking about heavy addiction in particular right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it sounds like some other person kind of takes over their personality. Kind of could be one of the reasons for schizophrenia, but that's another,
absolutely,
another topic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, because of course I just want to make it clear that our true essence is that of the vibrations, that of the energetic itself. That if this actually occurs and we don't have control over this vibrations, our true essence, it makes it vulnerable. It's like having a gift yet you don't know that this is a gift. Really, that's why your gift is taken away or being utilized by others.
Mm-hmm. So the gift being your natural essence of humanity, your physicality, and its ability to transcend the current reality and move into other dimensions of reality. Is that what you're referring to?
The gift, I was referring to the consciousness that exists within you that enables you to travel multidimensionally to the higher dimensional realms and take control over your energetic body.
Okay. So, again, a drug, it gives instantaneous changes in perception. And what you suggest is a quieting of the mind and a direct focus. And you actually have steps to accessing these levels of consciousness in your book, which I thought was great. But how long does it take someone to begin to work with these levels of reality based on your practice?
Well, even though I did highlight my practice, the personal practice that I've tried on myself and my friends that have that I found most beneficial, I also believe that every individual has their own unique way of elevating their own vibrational frequency that they could find, they too, additional with what I wrote, could find within themselves. Because when they know that such a thing really assists them, such as yourself, you told me you do transcendental meditation in the morning, and you always tell me that it makes you feel really, really good. So that's definitely something that works for you. It's different for other people. And even people who are really, really, most of the time they don't really have the time to sit down and do meditation, they could increase their vibrational frequency even subconsciously through various other means. That could be through walking by the beach with their dog, and unknowingly to them that they're also at that state itself, you could call, is partially meditating and increasing their vibrational frequency because they are near the element of water itself and they're quietening their mind while they just walk by the beach. Or even when people commune with nature and they go to the park with their friends or family members, unknowingly to them, they're also raising their vibrational frequency. So it's not just in the aspect of meditation itself. It's in the aspect of doing things that you know will make you feel good and will connect you through your true essence, and that is of the energetics.
Mm-hmm. It sounds wonderful, but in our crazy, busy, filled lives, to sit down and close your eyes, many people, myself included, have trouble getting into a deeper state. Is there any technique that you offer that helps people begin to relax to the point where they can move into altered states? Because I mean, I've been meditating for, 20 years plus, and it's easy for me just to sit down and my system automatically knows that, okay, this is the quiet time for meditation, let's try to clear the brain. But having a system like that took me time. And I know a lot of people that just have been greatly challenged by meditation because they cannot quiet their minds. Does it matter? I think you were just talking about a walking meditation, but what is the best way to become a multidimensional traveler?
Certainly. What I'm going to highlight first, in terms of your question, is that the two greatest aspects of multidimensional traveling is focusing not only within your mind, but also within your heart. If you can't find a peace of mind, you have to find that peace within your heart and feel the love and light within you. And I know that for most people, the technique of understanding that your mind is like this, or rather this metaphor that your mind is like this wild animal that needs to be tamed, to be quietened down. What I find very, very effective as well is that you ask your mind to synchronize with your heart. And first, you have to feel the love and the light within your heart. That's your main focus. Even though your mind is chattering, just focus on the heart. Find the love and light within your heart. And then you imagine a golden light going through within your heart. And afterwards, you start telling your mind to synchronize with your heart. And for your mind, tell your mind, that you have faith in it, that you have faith that it could stay in the positive side, and that to filter your thoughts because you want to become a multidimensional traveler. So please, please, please start controlling the thoughts mind. Talk to it and tell it to synchronize with your heart. And it would really, really help because we are utilizing not only the energetic understanding, but also the power of words in doing so.
Amazing. It sounds like you need to, or someone in your group needs to create some tapes and some CDs to help people focus on these areas. Because I can hear my audience going, okay, that sounds good. Synchronize my heart and my brain. Okay, now what?
very firm on the understanding that all of you have this ability within you. Like, you don't really need me as much to give you, courses or guidance. You could do this yourself. You could just write a list on what truly, truly makes you happy, what makes you vibrationally, your vibrations increase on a daily basis. Just make a list of that. And then with that, you could create your own meditation techniques as well, because it's different for everyone. What really, really would be effective for someone may not be effective for another person. It's all about the understanding of uniqueness.
Interesting. In your book, you talk a bit about the ancients' use of unconsciousness imbued in their art. And I thought that was a fascinating section. And in some cases, you actually refer to their identifying otherworldly beings. Can you talk a little bit about that, how you interpreted this as ancients tapping into these realities? Because obviously you must have, when you look at these artworks, you must see this. And I kind of see it. I see it more in the ruins and the way they built the engineering. But when there's actually pottery, sometimes I'll pick up on it. What are you picking up? What are you picking up on when you see these things?
Well, I believe that the ancient civilizations were very, very much in tune to their true essence, that of the energetics. And with that, they try to give the spiritual message for their the future generations in this form of artwork. However, if your mind is very much limited to the physicality itself, all you're going to see is only the physical aspect of it, because it's very much culture related as well. And thus, I feel that these ancient civilizations have strategically created a code within each and every one of these artworks, so-called artworks, that it is only when you raise your own vibrational frequency and that you are able to look at a piece of artwork and really decipher its meaning, because there's a certain energetic code that is attached to every single one of these artworks. So when you raise your vibrational frequency and you start seeing this artwork, particularly that of the Minoans that I have the most respect in, you will start seeing the depictions, their own attempt of relaying the true origins or even the true understanding of humanity's true potential or even humanity's true abilities. However, if you limit yourself, your mind, and you locked it in a physical aspect, in seeing things only in the physical, you're only very much limiting your mind to seeing the physical of the artwork itself.
Now, that's a fascinating idea, because I believe that a number of ancient cultures imbued not only their artwork, but a lot of their buildings, pyramids and whatever, with certain codes, certain unconscious aspects that, as you approach them and look at them and maybe meditate while you're there standing with your eyes closed, you actually absorb a lot of that information. What is your feeling on that?
Yes, I completely agree with you. And not only that you're opening yourself to the knowledge that they wish to convey to you, you're also opening yourself to the energetic world and their understanding the knowledge that they wish to convey to you of the energetic world. So I completely agree with you that is indeed the case. Mm-hmm. That despite the ruins that we see, let's say a particular ruin is already half destroyed, despite that being destroyed in the physicality, the feeling and past existence, as time does not matter in the multidimensional understanding and in energetic understanding, that particular, we could say, area of the ruins itself could very well still exist in the energetic world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, interesting. You talk a great deal about the beings that you communicate with when you're in these altered states. Can you talk a little bit about the difference between the lower earthbound and the higher dimension beings and their effect on people who are trying to experience other dimensions?
Sure. If you're speaking specifically about the lower earthbound beings, they were what once used to be humans, but they physically died in a very negative mind state. And in the energetic world, what you think is what you attract. What you think is what your vibrational frequency will be. Thus, it is these negative thoughts themselves, negative thoughts and negative feelings within them that made them trapped them in a lower dimensional state. Now, over time, as we previously spoke about the amount of consciousness, which is very much related to the vibrational frequency, over time, as their vibrational frequency is getting lower and lower, they're starting to lose what is called consciousness, and thus they roam around in this state of you could say limbo or unconscious, while higher dimensional beings are beings that exist in a much higher dimensions than ourselves. Currently, the physical humans exist in what we call the third dimension. However, our energetic body, on average, exists on the fourth dimensional realm. Now, beings of the higher dimensions, when I speak of the higher dimensions, are beings who exist in the seventh dimension and above. Now, these beings live their life in constant positivity and in tune to the alignment with the forces of love and light, and thus they exist in this aspect of harmony and togetherness it is definitely in a much higher dimension than ours. And when they communicate with you, they will convey completely the aspects of love and light. They will convey and speak to you in the language of simplicity, because I find through my travels that beings who tend to convey knowledge in true complications or in true complicated messages tend to be beings of intermediate or a little bit of a lower realm, because beings in a higher dimension very much cater and communicate through you within your heart through the language of simplicity, because their target is your heart itself. While beings in the intermediate realm or in the lower realm, their target is only your physical brain itself. Thus, they tend to speak in a very, very complicated manner, trying to use basically understandings of technologies to basically make you understand of the universe and things, while beings of the higher dimensions convey to you an absolute love and light. And how do you differentiate within them is through using your senses and feeling, because the senses and the feeling of a being can never be wrong.
Interesting. So you've experienced all these different types of beings, the lower earthbound, which are people who have recently passed over. And actually, in part of the book, you have quite a nice chapter where you were experiencing the passing of your grandfather. And then he did pass, and you were communicating with him quite regularly. Is that part of the multidimensional aspect? Is that where you can talk with departed loved ones and connect with them? Is that something that happens on a regular basis, or just was as they're transcending to the higher dimensions?
Most certainly, you could still keep on in contact with them anytime you wish. But however, that wish of yours to contact them have to be in the right synchronicity of timing. Thus, is what one would call as fated or destined and allowed by the universe itself to occur. But in general, people who have great pure feelings of love and light towards another, it could be, you know, not just grandfather, it could be your lover, it could be your mother, father, anybody that you have great pure love towards, and they feel this way towards you as well, what you're actually doing is that as separation does not exist when you understand energy itself, when you understand that of our true vibration, your distance does not matter, that you're very much connected with them at all times. Even in our current world, the physical world itself right now, for example, if somebody have deep love for somebody else, though they're far away, and that person really feel that love, sometimes you're able to feel the emotions of that person, or even what that person is going through, just a sensation and a feeling, because unknowingly to you, you are actually, as there is no separation in energy, you are actually connecting your own vibrational frequency with one another as energy. Time, distance, whatsoever, does not matter when it comes to the energetic existence.
One of the things that I've always been aware of, and I was interested in knowing what you were thinking about, is you, I've been taught that you create your reality and you can project into almost a future self and manifest positive outcomes from thinking about them. What does the multidimensional traveler say about that level of reality creation? Do you think that's a possibility, or what is your philosophy on that?
Well, as the energetic world functions on the basis of your thoughts and your feeling, that in the energetic world itself, what you think is what you create at the same time, as that's how energy, or really how that's how energy works. What's and that is indeed true, that you could create your the outcome that you wish. However, our universe functions in such a way that if you wish for something that is very much selfish, that is very much personal and only for your gain rather than that of helping to uplift the vibrational frequency of Earth and that of others as well, they tend not to come true because they do not have the blessing of the universe. Thus, your wish has to be something that is very much related to assisting others. Then you will put, basically manifest positive outcomes. Thus, the most important thing to do, rather than focusing on an image or a wish that you wish to occur in the future, what you need to start understanding is to stop focusing so much on the personal aspects and instead raise your own vibrational frequency and focusing on the now. And by doing that, what you're actually doing is that you're attracting all the positive energies and positive outcomes that will be manifested in the future.
So rather than focusing on yourself, focusing on, I think I meant, you said, helping others and manifesting positive outcomes for your surroundings, is that what you're saying? And then from that, you automatically begin to benefit from positive thoughts and positive outcomes, is that correct?
Yes, certainly. I'll just give a very quick example. For example, right now, somebody who's wishing to raise their vibrational frequency so that they could travel to the higher realm, they can't see it as, I really wish to do that because it would be cool for me to travel and get all these knowledge from all these various beings that I will meet. Instead, their thought should be focused on, I wish to travel to the higher realms to align myself to the forces of love and light, because I know by doing that, I will attain knowledge that I can share with others. I can share with others, not in the, not in thoughts of more of a superficial or material thoughts, but I can share with others so that they too can raise their own vibrational frequency, and in that assist the overall raising of vibrational frequency within this universe.
So has it been your... Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. So I'm just saying it's a collective thought instead of a personal thought.
Collective thought. Interesting. Is it your experience through reading older texts, maybe manuscripts or whatever, that what you are tapping into or experiencing as a multidimensional traveler is something that has been known about and used in previous cultures, like as on a regular basis, or was it limited to just priests, or how would you characterize how it was used in the past?
Well, in the far past, the past civilizations, this is something that is very, very normal to them. The way we go to school or we go take courses to SAT courses, GRE courses. Basically, that was what multidimensional traveling was like to them. And they convey this even in every single artwork and every single text in a past text. Particularly that of the civilizations that you wouldn't think of actually does have this knowledge. For example, what is termed as currently the country known as Indonesia, the Javanese, they're very much, most of them, a high percentage of them, are Muslims. But in their past, civilization with all of the chandis, or rather Hindu temples, of what people perceive as the Hindu temples, were actually what is known as the Javanese temples. And it was within these Javanese temples itself that these people would dedicate their time to actually uplift their own vibrational frequency and travel multidimensionally. And interestingly enough, even though they have aligned themselves to a particular religion right now, the elders of the village, the great-grandmother, they still have knowledge of this understanding of out-of-body travels. It's just that, unfortunately, over time, such knowledge has not only been lost, but also has been altered. So instead of focusing on raising their vibrational frequency of love and light, instead they're focusing on this for their own personal gain. And such is what is known as the usage of the black magic in Southeast Asia.
Oh, that's interesting. That's not good either.
Exactly.
Have you encountered any beings that basically said that, you know, we worked with or we have been were in contact with beings of Atlantis, beings of early Maya, proto-Maya, beings of dynastic or pre-dynastic Egyptians, and this is the technique that you're using is what we prescribed? Or can you talk a little bit about any perceived ancients?
Yes. The ancient civilization that I have the highest regard for is the ancient civilization of the Minoans. They were previously residing in what we are familiar with of the island of Crete. And also before their so-called destruction, they were residing in Santorini in Greece. Now, I have noticed a lot of their artwork that depicts vibrational frequency, the importance of uplifting one's vibrational frequency. If you look and you Google, you'll see, and you just Google and Google image Minoans artwork, you'll see many, many, nearly all the depictions of their artworks are all of the importance of uplifting their own vibrational frequency. The Minoans, much like the individuals of today's world, are very much know the understanding or the aspect of propaganda. However, propaganda back then is not propaganda now. Propaganda back then is what I call the positive propaganda. Propaganda of various artworks and images that remind them of their true essence, that of the energetics. And such is depicted in nearly all of their artwork. For example, if you start understanding these things, when you see the dolphins that are depicted in their artwork, it's not simply, dolphins swimming the way we know it, but it is dolphins uplifting one's vibrational frequency. And there is a particular picture of a Minoan woman sitting, and she's playing an musical instrument that is very much like a harp. And in front of her is a white dove just flying, soaring. For example, if you were attached to your preconceived notions of the physicalities, you'll just say, oh, she's playing a harp. But that's not what really is. It is, again, positive propaganda during their days to remind their generation of the importance of uplifting your own vibrational frequency. And in that, it will enable them to fly or to basically to fly and to go through the various higher dimensional realms and to travel there. Now, the Minoans, I don't want to give all surprises away in terms of the Minoans, because even the language that the Minoans, the so-called language or what people know as language of the Minoans, have not been solved yet. And and if one is very much attached to their preconceived notion of the physical, they will never be able to understand the true understanding of the Minoans and the amazing knowledge that they wish to convey to our generation.
We don't have a lot of great artifacts left from the Minoans. In fact, I think that there was a suspicion that the Minoans may have originally been part of a greater culture, which is Atlantis, is what I think, who I read somewhere. But I guess from the artwork that you've perceived, I know they have beautiful, ornate mosaic baths and walls and things like that. And those dolphins that you're referring to, I've actually seen pictures of them, and they are quite beautiful. But did you pick up their abilities through the conveyed art, or how did you land on the Minoans as a people with supreme multidimensional abilities?
Well, with the Minoans, I basically travel to what we would call a high dimensional existence, and I ask, this is what I this is what is very important to me, that when I travel to the higher dimensional existence, it's not about just enjoying the beauty, enjoying the surrounding, and focusing in that. What I actually focus on is on getting the knowledge back and asking them as many questions as possible so that I could bring the knowledge back here. Now, I asked them a lot about the Minoans, in which they told me what the various symbols of the Minoan culture actually meant. And contrary to what is believed, that the Minoans artworks are a few compared to that of the other civilizations. I actually went to a lot of these ancient sites, and on various grounds or relics, they would subtly depict various symbols on them that you have to pay absolute attention, because these symbols will be everywhere. And a symbol that I particularly noticed that are depicted everywhere in their ancient ground is a symbol of a circle with a cross inside, encircled cross. And the knowledge that I received on that symbol itself is that it is actually a depiction that humans are not bound to the third physical dimension. Therefore, the cross itself, it divides four little spaces of four dimensional realm. It's on my last two chapters. I went on and on about Minoan in the last two chapters.
I'll have to definitely check into that, because I do also find that is a very unusual and unique culture. You have a chapter that, and you go quite a bit into deception, you call it. The chapter's called Deception. What are the levels of deception that you find that are a problem?
Sure. Well, mostly in the energetic world, most people, when they manage to travel out of body, they're so happy that they suddenly have this notion within them that all the beings that they meet are going to be positive beings, unlike that of humans. They forget that in this universe there exist various different dimensional existences and a plethora of different beings. Some of them are positive beings, and some of them are that negative. Therefore, I wrote that chapter, knowing of the importance of knowing that some of these beings are positive and some of these are negative. Because even at first, during some of my travels, I gave the examples, whereby I thought that a being was who basically came off as or who pretended to be positive was actually not a positive being. That I gave a lot of information on how they could understand whether a being is that of positive nature or negative nature. For example, beings, when you're about to fall asleep, some people, this is the most common one that people report to me, and I've experienced it myself. Sometimes when you're about to fall asleep in a negative mindset, you hear voices speaking, some, just in that stage of falling asleep, there are like various voices. And sometimes individuals call this the trance state, in which they will audibly hear voices, like audibly distinct voices. Now, this is actually an occurrence when your physical body itself is tired and that you're vibrating in a lower vibrational frequency. Thus, your energetic body itself exists in a lower dimension than a fourth dimensional existence itself. Thus, you're communicating with beings of the lower dimension. Thus, it comes off as us speaking right now, that there are distinct voices. But when you travel to the higher dimensional realm, how you know that you're actually traveling to a higher place is that you feel the love and the light, and your feelings are undoubtedly clear that you are traveling to the higher realm itself, and that most of the communications that occur in a higher dimensional existence does not occur in the aspects of you and me speaking right now. It occurs in the aspects of harmonic energetic existence, in that one's vibrational frequency is very much connected to another, and that could only be done through an aspect of raising one's vibrational frequency and attuning oneself to the forces of love and light, and in that the communication tends to take place in what we have come, or humans have come to term as telepathy.
Fascinating. You know, it seems to me that this form of consciousness is the next level of evolution for us right now. I'm of the belief that the Earth was struck by some cataclysmic event over 10,000 years ago and wiped a civilization or multiple cultures off the face of the planet. And we had to restart. We had to reboot. And now we're coming back to a place where we are experiencing new types of growth. We are evolving, and I think we're coming back to this meditative travel or multidimensional travel, connecting to other dimensions, other realities. Is it your belief that this is a step in our growth, and is it necessary that everyone do this, or is it only made for certain select individuals, like priests?
Oh, absolutely not. But I certainly do agree with you that it basically, what you said occurred, definitely. And I greatly feel that it is to halt us from our own true spiritual evolutions in the past, that the past civilizations achieve all of these understanding of their true realities and have truly utilized their own energetic abilities. And in that, because certain beings have an agenda of wanting to push humanity backward in their evolution or in their spiritual understanding, that they had to wipe all of the evidence so that humanity have to start from zero again. And I feel that no matter how difficult it is, I mean, or no matter how hard it is for them to try to stop humans from what we call as evolution, of understanding of our own spiritual and energetic nature, such is the occurrence of the universe that they will not be able to hold this for long, because it's already showing itself up in the aspects of nature. For example, the encircled rings within a tree bark shows the dimensions. Like, I feel that nature, in its most wonderful ways, tend to convey the truth about the energetic nature. And also, there are so many positive individuals that exist currently here on Earth, so many positive beings that exist here that are hoping to raise the vibrational frequency, that are learning how to break free of this physical thought itself, that are seeking the truth, and because they know within themselves or their own truth, true existence.
Okay. So in the time we have left, a few minutes we have left, what do you want the reader and our audience to understand about your research, your work, and your travels? What is it? I think you gave us a little idea about that when we just the question was answered just now. But is there something else you find is critical that you've devoted your time to, that you extracted from your research on this type of work?
Oh yeah, but I do have a quick message, if I could say it very quickly, please. I wish for the readers to know that they have these abilities within themselves, that they don't really need to rely on anyone to help them to achieve multidimensional travel. They don't need to pay, you know, a lot of money for somebody to tutor them to be able to do this, or really for them to get out of their way. They can do this themselves. The key is within them. These abilities are within them, and it's innately within them. They just have to start doing so with great discipline and a love and light within them and positive thoughts, but they're able to do this, and I have complete faith in them.
Wonderful. You have more faith than I do. I don't know if this is quite ready for all humans on Earth. I think there's a growing number who might have a level of understanding that is seeking this type of work, but I don't think it's for everybody. But I could be wrong. Maybe I don't know.
To me, it doesn't really matter as long as it's the right individuals that will learn to enhance the power within them, and with that, they will be able to assist others.
Ah, there you go. Well, my guest has been Kartika Goel, and the book is The Multidimensional Traveler, Finding Togetherness, or How I Learned to Break the Rules of Physics and Sojourn Across Dimensions and Time. Thank you for joining me today. And you have a website. It's called thetogetherness.com, www.thetogetherness.com. Are you producing any videos or YouTube or anything people can read about? Obviously, we want them to get the book, but is there anything that is a focal point on this work that you've done?
Well, unfortunately not, but I'm working on my second book right now.
Wonderful. Glad to hear it.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Cliff.
Yes, and I'm sure my audience had a wonderful time. Again, it's thetogetherness.com, and I'll post it on the website for everyone to check out. Kartika, please thank you for joining us, and much good success, and we look forward to hearing more from you in the future.
Thank you so much. Bye, Cliff. Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. That's it for today's show. I want to remind you that the Facebook page, Earth Ancients Facebook, has a number of quite interesting sculptures that I have posted. About 2 years ago, a gentleman in central Mexico sent me a photograph that has been termed the Unknown Monument. And the Unknown Monument is the best example of a sculpture cut to memorialize an aircraft of some kind. And I say that because there's a pilot and co-pilot in the cockpit of this craft. And take a look at it and tell me what you think. I actually posted that and some other photographs that were found around this excavated site, and it was uncovered by a farmer who was plowing a field. So take a look at that. It's Earth Ancients. The title is Unknown Monuments to an Ancient Past. And as always, I encourage you to always go to the Facebook page. Hopefully, in the next couple of months, I will be launching a new website, and that website will have quite a few archives of fascinating structures and ruins from our planet's distant past. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.